Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning. Today my guest is Alicia Briceland. She's a singer, voice teacher, and certified teacher of the Alexander Technique in New York City and Northern New Jersey. And we are doing a series of podcasts that are directed primarily at Alexander teachers who work with singers and singers who are students of the technique. They might also be of interest to singers in general. We've done part one, which is focusing on the question of knowledge. And this podcast, part two in this series, is focusing more on body awareness. Alicia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
And body awareness, and what we're going to talk about is what singers bring to the teaching process and what teachers can offer. Why don't you begin with singers? I think we've already discussed that body awareness, that singers tend to be very aware of their singing mechanism.
But they oftentimes are aware in a different sense than the Alexander technique really means. It's not about openness and noticing without judgment. It's being very emotionally tied to what's happening, mm-hmm. and oftentimes having an emotional reaction when things go badly.
Right.
You know, if you work with singers and the Alexander technique, their first impulse is when they try something, they're like, "Oh, well, that wasn't too bad."
right, yeah.
And they have to be, introduced to the concept of like, well, you know, it's not really good or bad. It's just information. Mm-hmm. And we actually want to be able to make mistakes. We want to be able to go too far in each direction. And then that way we know where the balance is. Because so many singers grapple with tension on a daily basis, awareness isn't always complete. It's some awareness, but the complete awareness is being blocked. And that's how the Alexander technique is so incredibly helpful for singers, because it can help them release that tension that's getting in the way of them really being able to understand what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Before we get to the areas where perhaps body awareness is being blocked, I think it might be worthwhile saying that in some ways you could describe the Alexander technique as learning how to experiment on yourself, right? Try this, see how it works, that sort of thing.
Yes.
And of course, experiments by their nature produce either a good result or a not so good result. That's how you find out stuff in science and in teaching. And I think even in general with Alexander students, it sometimes takes a bit of nudging to get them to enter into that process freely. And I think that with singers, perhaps it's even a little harder, because they have so much invested in what they're currently doing.
I think you're absolutely spot on with that. They do have a lot invested. And to let go of that and to think that something would change and perhaps change for the worse can be scary. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of emotional baggage that singers can bring to an Alexander lesson. So I think it's important for teachers to realize that they need to be calm, they need to be reassuring, they need to say, well, this is not going to change your technique for the worse in any way. The only thing it could actually do would be to help it, mm-hmm. to make you have a better understanding of what you're actually doing, and then have better control of what you're doing.
Right.
And I think once that they understand that, then they're going to be more open and more trusting of the process.
Right. Yes. And I think it's just a little, perhaps for Alexander Technique teachers who are listening to this, it's just important to bear in mind that singers are likely to have a greater attachment to what they're doing right now.
Yes.
And, mm-hmm. and that's just is. And as a teacher, you're going to have to deal with that. Now,
right.
I mean, that's life, right? For an Alexander teacher. But to get then to your point about awareness being a bit restricted in terms of, let's say, the geography of a student's body,
mm-hmm.
say some more about that.
Okay. Well, it varies, of course, from student to student. As any Alexander Technique teacher knows, some people are very sensitive. Some people are at the other end of the spectrum and, you know, don't have a lot of information that's coming in. And that's, we're just all individuals and we're all different.
Mm-hmm.
So that's true of students as well, but of singers as well, excuse me. But, singers can tend to interpret certain sensations as openness. So, for mm-hmm. instance, this is getting a little technical on the singing side, but for instance, when they try to think of an open throat, sometimes the tongue can pull back, pull down and back, which mm-hmm. is actually mm-hmm. the tongue tightening.
Right, yeah.
Shortening and tightening. But the singer experiences that as more openness in space, when actually the tongue is taking up the exact resonant space that they want to create more of. So that's a simple example of where proprioception is false. We think we're doing one thing, we're actually doing another.
Mm-hmm.
So if you understand anatomy and you understand that the tongue is stretching and releasing when it's actually coming forward or coming out of the mouth, then, you know, that helps. But
right.
Singers can often interpret tension, what's actually tension, as release in the throat, in the larynx. You know, for instance, a singer can hear from a teacher, oh, well, your larynx has to go down. So instead of thinking, okay, let me gently release the larynx down, let me take a moment, inhibit,
mm-hmm.
and ask it and direct it to go down in a very nice, relaxed way. It's like, okay, well, I have to get it down, so I'm just going to push it down.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have the awareness that that's actually tension, then it just feels like something that's normal and perfectly fine. When it will create a side effect of having a held quality to the sound that you don't want.
And you know, I suspect that our founder, F. Matthias Alexander, who came up with this method as a result of a voice issue, in his case, he was a reciter, and he needed to get his voice to the back of the room before there were PA systems, he talks about that sort of depressing of his larynx, overly depressed larynx, right?
Yep.
When he,
absolutely.
I think if you read chapter for the teachers in the audience, read chapter one of Use of the Self, he pretty clearly spells out the kind of experiments he was doing, and he was shocked to learn that he only learned it by using mirrors to observe himself.
Exactly. And you know, we know how amazingly aware he was naturally as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And if he couldn't figure it out until he had mirrors, you know, the chance of an average person being able to figure out is pretty slim.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk a little about legs, because I think that there's an area where body awareness may be a bit missing for singers. What do you have to say about that?
It is very true. And, you know, singers aren't just, you know, we aren't just torsos that people, torsos, necks, and heads that people, you know, carry it on stage and prop up on something and we just go from there. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to be able to use our legs. We need to be able to walk. We need to be able to act with our legs. And so we have to have them as part of our complete picture. And we need to be aware of what they're doing. You know, at the same time that we're singing. So being able to expand our field of awareness as singers beyond just the singing mechanism, just the breathing apparatus, the neck, and then the head is incredibly important. We also need to understand what we're doing with our arms, right? Our arms mm-hmm. and our leg correspond with one another. Mm-hmm. And we need to have this awareness. The legs also are the base of our support. Singers need to feel like they have stability in order to have the breath support that we need in order to sing, right?
Right.
So we take a breath, and it's not just the air coming out like air coming out of a balloon and going, right? We have to control it. And that takes strength. That takes, you know, the musculature working in certain areas. And one of the things that really actually helps that is being really very aware of your legs and the fact that they're supported, completely supporting the body. Mm-hmm. So if the legs are out of the picture, if we don't really even have an awareness that your legs are there when you're singing, then you're missing out on a wonderful opportunity to be able to improve your singing, improve your support for singing, as well as other aspects.
And I believe it's the case that most singing teachers would not emphasize legs all that much when they're working with a student.
That is true, and there are some who emphasize them in the wrong ways. I did not study with this teacher or ever meet this teacher, but I have had colleagues who've known a teacher who would say, oh, well, you need to breathe in at your hip joints.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And while I understand that he this person, as a man, was trying to get a very low breath in
right.
the abdominal region, you know, which is basically
yeah.
at the level of the hip joints, the singers misinterpreted it, and they ended up sort of like bending over at the hips while they were singing in an effort to sort of feel that the breath was going in at this place. So it
oh,
ended up
affecting
their use.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Because if you're you know, emphasizing, well, I have to breathe in at this place, I have to breathe in at this place, what's your tendency going to be? Of course, it's going to be, okay, well, if I can feel a little more, if I bend a little, then I'll be more connected to it. So, so these people would literally, you know, bend over while they were performing.
Wow. I've never encountered that, but that's well, and you know, to get back to our esteemed founder, F. Matthias Alexander, he was given a piece of information from an acting coach, apparently. He was told that it was important to grab hold of the floor with your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think about that for a minute, that's kind of a losing game because really your feet can't really grab the floor. But he was attempting to do that and creating clearly some extra tension in his feet that my guess is was interfering with his feet and legs and ultimately his whole body receiving the support of the floor.
Exactly. Because we're interconnected.
Right.
And, you know, if you create that much tension in your feet, then it's going to where you're supposed to, where, which is the foundation of, you know, everything else that you do.
Right.
Then, you know, it's
right.
it's not going to help you.
So I guess something to say to Alexander teachers who are working with singers is get them to tell you what instructions they've actually had about singing. What they should do with themselves so that you can get a better sense of where they're coming from if they seem to be doing something that's counterproductive.
I think that's a great idea. I think that it you have to be tactful when you do it.
Absolutely.
Say,
Yeah. Yes, you do.
Has your teacher mentioned anything about, you know, your hips? Has your teacher mentioned anything about your knees, you know, and then have them say it and then say, well, you know, well, you can try doing this. I think that, you know, that will help you overall. And when they have a different experience, right, from hands-on, then they'll be like, oh, okay, it's there's a whole new world there.
Right. Yeah. So say a few words about what, in more general terms, what a teacher can offer to singers, singing students who, on this question of body awareness, that might be new information for the singer.
Okay. I think that what teachers can specifically offer can really bring to the table for singers and emphasize to them so that singers can understand how important the Alexander technique can be for them in their process is to give an overall awareness of the body while singing. That singing itself doesn't have to be the only thing that the singer is aware of while they're actually doing the action. That they can still be aware of their whole bodies. They can still be aware of their whole environment. I have my students build up a bubble of awareness around them that goes beyond their body, out to the sides, above, below, into the floor, every diagonal direction.
Yep.
Three-dimensional bubble, and that's all their space. That's where their energy can freely go. That's where they can expand into. It's very empowering, and it really changes how a singer sings when it's not just about the apparatus that is moving at the moment.
Right, absolutely.
Right.
And perhaps say a word or two about the whole question of that sense of awareness, how it can improve with practice.
Oh, absolutely. Awareness is an evolving process, and I think that's something that singers don't necessarily understand. They say, okay, I feel this now. This is the way it's always been in the past. This is the way it will always be in the future. Instead of realizing that as they work with the Alexander technique, their awareness will deepen, and they will have more sensations, more specific sensations, more understanding of how things work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And more very physical experiences resulting from their own body awareness. Body awareness is really the most important guide that singers have. And I think if Alexander Technique teachers realize that, they'll realize that this is an in for singers. When singers realize that they can feel so much more, they can get so much more information, and it's more accurate information, they'll be like, oh, this is great. Because this is what singers need. This is crucial for singers to be able to be successful. They have to work with themselves, and the only thing they have is their own proprioceptive sense of how they're singing.
So you're basically, as a teacher, you're tapping into an interest that's already there on the part of your student, probably for singers, more so than the general public.
I would say even stronger than an interest, Robert. I would say it's a need. It's an absolute necessity to be able to feel. Going back to the concept that some singers, like everyone else, are very sensitive, and then it ranges to people who don't really get that much sensation. Singers who don't have a lot of sensation have great difficulty in changing their voices because they don't have any guideposts in the form of these small little feelings that other singers might have. And then they don't know what to do. They don't have any indication of where to go back to. So this is how important it is. The more sensitive you are in singing, you know, the easier it is to work with yourself. And this is exactly what the Alexander technique gives you. It gives you a much more accurate, much more heightened sense of awareness of what's happening in your body.
Right. And I mean, you want to be able to feel, but you want those feelings to be an accurate representation of what's going on.
Exactly.
And that is something that comes with practice and with, exposure to the work and working on your own as a singer.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So,
anything else you want to add before we come to the end of this podcast?
The only thing I think I would really say is that this sense of body awareness that the Alexander technique is so wonderful at offering people, and that is so important to singers. It's really important to help singers realize that this will evolve and change over time, and that the more work they do, the more lying down at home and semi-supine, you know, the more they bring the concepts to mind, that it will just continually get better and better and better. And that can only serve them. That can only help them in the long run. There's no downside about that. It's all good.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great place to end this podcast. my guest today has been Alicia Briceland. She's a singer, voice teacher, and Alexander Technique teacher in New York City and also in northern New Jersey. I'll be putting a link to her website by this interview, and I'd like to emphasize that her site not only is a way to learn about her teaching, but has a huge amount of information about vocal technique in and of itself, as well as Alexander technique and how it relates to singing, and also information about singer psychology. So if you're a singer, this would be a great resource to check out. I'll also, and of course, if you live in New York or northern New Jersey what we're talking about intrigues you, get hold of Alicia and set up a lesson with her. I'll also put a link to a site that will give you more information about the Alexander technique and enable you to find a teacher wherever you live. Alicia, thanks so much for this.
Thank you, Robert.